Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, a Reiki Master Energy Teacher and Medium and author of The Living Spirit, which shares stories of spiritual awakenings, spiritual communication, healing energies, miracles, and ways to manifest your human potential for love and prosperity. Today I am most delighted to welcome William Von Holst, who will discuss Imre Valeyon's book, The Journey Within, which offers a view of human spirituality not obtained from scholarly research, but from issues that erupted from deep within his inner soul essence and personal experiences. Hello, William, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
William, as listeners of this show well know, my guests and I attempt to understand and move forward in developing a clearer view of our spiritual and human potential by sharing metaphysical experiences, concepts, and realities of a deep resonating remembrance within our subconscious or soul essence that illuminates issues in our present daily day experiences and connects us to the depths of our beginnings and ancestral wisdom from forever in space and time. In today's episode of Healing From Within, we will discuss remarkable ideas from Imre Valeyon's view of human experience, illuminating spiritual teachings and sacred languages of our planetary history based on a universal, not biased towards any particular religion or tradition. We may discuss such topics as the search for true happiness and how to reconnect to the higher self, how to choose your right path, the true purpose of meditation, what happens after death, developing love and wisdom as the meaning of life, and ideas about karma, evil, and compassion, and the power of thought. In 2000, Imre won the Ashton Wiley Charitable Trust Book Award for his four-volume treatise, Heaven and Hells of the Mind, which is a work on human consciousness and the wisdom of the ages. William, I always love to ask my guests to think back to their childhood to remember a person or an event or dream or interest that may have shown early on the life path and values that they would have as an adult, and perhaps something of Imre Valeyon's earlier life that led to his spiritual awareness and life interests.
That's an interesting question. And briefly, for me, I had very vivid dreams as a young boy, dreams of flying, dreams of actually flying into the sun, flying out of the solar system. So it's a huge exploration in my dream life. And for Emery, he talks about very vividly when he was three, he was lying in bed and was taken into a very deep, dark, he refers to it as the divine darkness. And at first he was quite terrified of this dimension, because it was quite different than even a dream life. It was way, way above the dream reality. And as a three-year-old boy, he was, of course, frightened, and he was immediately thrown back into his body. And he was a little adventurous. He still is, of course. But as a three-year-old, he decided, oh, well, maybe I should try that again and go see what that place is like. And so he goes back into this divine darkness, and same thing, just it's so vast and so different than anything that any of us really know. He was thrown back again into his body. And then a third time he tried again. And then the third time he became more comfortable and began to explore this inner dimension. So his entire life, and this is at three, he's had enormous inner experiences. So all his teaching is from these inner dimensions. And these inner dimensions, when you experience these inner dimensions, and of course the level of your soul or the causal level is one dimension, but there's many, many other dimensions that he's experienced. So all his teachings are coming from those inner dimensions. And of course, all of us all share that within. And what he's doing is he's helping us to reconnect to those inner dimensions. And of course, the first step is really to connect to your soul. And then once you begin to have a relationship with your soul, then there's dimensions above the soul. And he also teaches how to connect with those universes, those energies as well.
That was a very beautiful description of how it began at a very early age. And I find many of my authors on this show have had unique experiences as children because they were born with a plan to remember and rediscover and connect to this dimension that we were just talking about. And I personally was in that spot, oh, I would say about 17 years ago. I was with a very lovely group of very advanced people, and we were in a deep meditation, and we were asked to ask a question. And at that time, I was very concerned about 2012 and the prophecies of the Mayan people, that there was going to be a big change in the earth. And actually, I was a little concerned about it. And during that meditation, I found myself in that dark place, and I was just an atom, a speck of life. And I was not aware what the answer was. But when I came out of that meditation, another woman had expressed she had the same question, and that she felt it was going to be the beginning of many, many people recognizing this state or soul state and being able to connect more freely with it without fear, and to go forward to illumination and to being comfortable in their duality as divine and physical beings. So it is said Emery Vallion teaches from an inner state of illumination. Please explain what that means and how it is different than the way we understand the world through our minds.
And you've used a word a couple times so far in this interview. You've used the word remembrance. And that's a very powerful word and understanding, because what Emery is saying, what he's saying is that you don't have a soul, you are the soul. So what part of this process is that soul is already really vibrant within, and it's true for every single person. That soul is alive and conscious and vibrant. So what it's a matter of removing the veils, and then that soul is present. So it's not so much that you have to grab at something, it's more of a remembrance of something that you've always have had and you always will have. So it's a kind of a very different approach. And what Emery emphasizes over and over again is that you have to understand that you have a personality complex, you have a physical body, you have an etheric body, which is your vitality body, you have an astral body, which is the body that you go to when you dream. It's also the body that most of us go to when we die. And then you have a mental body. And all these are very dynamic energy fields around each of us. And what there is past your mental body is the body of your soul, or within your very essence, there is that quality of the soul itself, which you are. So what Emery teaches, what meditation's about, what this whole process, and what many people are discovering before or after 2012, is that there's this vibrant energy of this eternal soul, which is brilliant and beautiful and wise and has existed for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, and that is your true essence. So our whole life journey as this personality and going through all the dramas of life and all the ups and downs of everything that we feel or that we experience, that within all that is this beautiful essence of who we truly are and this that.
So then,
perhaps
this physical life is the vehicle for us to have this remembrance of our deep inner soul, being a soul, and a desire to reconnect to that source. and then a spiritual path begins. Once that remembrance opens up, it's impossible to go backwards, because once you start on the path of awareness and higher consciousness, you're not ready to listen to what the mind is telling you. You feel it deep within you. And I know Emmerich says that right knowledge is the saving knowledge, the knowledge that leads to eternal consciousness, an infinite possibility of knowing, an infinite possibility of experiencing, an infinite possibility of becoming. Please explain to us the difference between our thinking and consciousness and about right knowledge being saving knowledge.
Yeah, those are three very powerful questions. I'll do the best I can. What do you, because most people are so focused on what they think is what they are.
Yes.
And your thinking is an extension of something else. So beyond your thinking, there is consciousness. And the best way to describe consciousness is really an awareness. Awareness that is past the time and space. It's consciousness. When you die, you give up your physical body, you eventually will give up your astral body, you eventually give up your mental body. So there's these three bodies that you go through a period of time and interdimensions you actually lose. But what remains is consciousness. So you always have a consciousness. Your soul is your consciousness. And your soul is on a journey. And Emmy says, I always find this so beautiful, he says that really our personality is a mask. It's a persona. It is a expression of your soul. It is another way, beautiful way of describing it, is that your soul has chosen to wear some clothing, puts on clothes for a lifetime, and goes through all of life in this particular set of clothing as a single day in the life of the soul. And then the soul, like all of us, when we finish our day, we take off our clothes and we rest. So likewise, when we go through birth, we go through all our experiences, we die, we take off that single jeans and sweatshirts or whatever you have worn in that particular lifetime, and then you rest. So the soul is resting, and then the soul decides the next day or the next time that it incarnates, oh, I think I'm going to wear these clothes, and I'm going to have these karmas, and I'm going to have these people for my parents, I'm going to have these children, and I'm going to go through all these different experiences. And what the whole process is about, that eventually the soul can become, and I like to say this in a very sincere way, but you really become friends with your soul, so that you and your soul have a relationship with each other. You know your soul, and your soul knows you. You're able to communicate. You become conscious of your soul. Your soul becomes conscious of you. And then at that point, your life takes on a very different journey, because then your life, when you have that soul energy coming in, then the soul's purpose is really quite different than most people's personalities journey.
Absolutely. The
soul is working on its own adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And what the soul needs to do is connect to the personality. You become, as Emmy says, a soul-infused personality. And when that happens, then you become less and less focused on yourself, and you become more and more focused on others. You become more and more focused on what's happening within the community, within your country, and ultimately you really become focused on what's happening on the planet.
And William, that is how the title Healing from Within for this show was selected. It just came out of me, because what you were just describing is what happens in the process of finding these remembrances and knowing yourself as a soul who doesn't die, who's eternal, interconnected to everyone and to the universe and spirit and creation. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a gift to know that, and everything else pales in comparison. Everything we learn from books or have been taught very often are mind games controlling us to be a certain way in the world. And once you have this freedom of the soul, you don't have to be any way but be. And you're free and safe and secure through all the experiences of the physical world. But let's go on to explain the original spiritual path and how 3,000 years ago, mankind misunderstood the true spiritual path.
Well, what happens is that we go through different phases of energy. So essentially what you could say perhaps more 2,000 years ago, we entered into the Piscean Age. And the Piscean Age, very beautiful in itself, but what the Piscean Age is really focused on is abstraction and a very pure kind of devotion. And so, of course, Christ came along and Muhammad came along, and they were trying to steer people to really connect with the spirit or their soul. And essentially what Christ was doing is trying to avoid, of course it became inevitable, but the Dark Ages, and we went through some pretty horrible times in the last 2,000 years, that the focus is not to deny the physical life. The focus is that you are completely embracing physical life, or you embrace your personalities, your desires, and so much of Christianity is against desire or against sexuality or all kinds of crazy things that happened over the last 2,000 years. And that's where we essentially got off the path. Because what the focus is that you don't deny things, you accept things, and you also become spiritual. So you don't deny your body, you don't deny your desires, you don't deny your thoughts, you don't set up this resistance. What you do is you know what it is, you accept it for what it is, and then you go deeper within and connect to your soul, and then you stay here on the physical plane in your body, and you radiate, just like Christ had done, you radiate that divine light, you radiate that love, you radiate that wisdom, your whole being radiates a vibration that will help others and completely change the vibration of people around you. And of course, Christ had such an enormous impact because his presence on the planet for those 3 years before he was crucified, that vibration that he brought down on the planet actually changed the destiny of mankind. He brought down light to the physical plane, he held it for 3 years, and that changed the whole vibration of the planet. And that is essentially our task. We have that, to use Christian terms, we have that Christ within, we have that divine light within, that our soul, that very essence of who he is, who we are, is totally within our grasp, so that we become an enlightened being. We become a vehicle to help bring light down into this planet.
Absolutely. That was beautifully said. You know, many people believed in the olden days or the original spiritual path that you had to leave the world behind and shut yourself off in an ashram or cave. And this is a funny story, but years ago when I began to become aware that there was a change going on and there was an awakening for me, I meditated and I actually asked whether I had to give up my life as I knew it and find a way to become or develop that inner sense of knowing. And I picked up this small book that had been given to me by an English medium, and I opened a page randomly and I read, "In your case, you are to remain in the world, not go to the mountains, and you are to help others by being an example for loving life and for merging a physical and spiritual reality in oneness and unity." Just what you said, to bring the light through us in a physical way that's there within us, the divine spark and connection to heaven or spirit or source, whatever you wish to call it. And I didn't think about it after that, and I didn't run away to the mountains and lock myself in. Instead, I wrote a few books, and I became a radio host to bring wonderful authors with this light and brilliance and love in their hearts to as many people as would listen. So we can go on to know that Emre wrote that everything spiritual is already within you. You have a central point based in the heart chakra that is always in an eternal state of being. Can you tell us something about that? I think you were just talking about that, actually, about how Christ brought that light through him into the world. But tell us a little more.
Yeah, it's referred to, and this goes back to tradition thousands of years ago, the divine spark, or the spirit spark atom. And what that means is that every single human being has this divine spark of light within their innermost heart chakra. There are seven levels in the heart. This is the innermost level of the heart. So no matter what a person does in a lifetime, no matter how hideous that person, whatever that person does, that there is that divine spark that will eventually, in some incarnation down the road, will take them back to his home. I mean, our true home is not here on planet Earth and doing what we're all doing. Our true home is on the inner dimension. So this light that we incarnate with over and over and over again, because it's never something that is taken away from us, it's something we always have. So that light itself is intelligent, is incredibly wise, and what it's doing is that that spark is wanting to return back to the huge ocean of light. Or as Christ said, he said, my Father and I are one. Simple biblical, 2,000 years ago, they weren't quite as educated as we are today. But he was saying that within me is that divine spark of my Father, and that divine spark of my Father is a field of light, an ocean of light. And we all have that within. We all have that experience of becoming that aware and conscious of that ocean of life.
Then we know that each of us are the sons and daughters of the divine. And no one is less and no one is more in energy. Perhaps in a physical world, people perceive it in an unequal fashion. But if we get to talking about the great feminine and her relationship to the three main religions in the world, we can discover an ancient truth that has been lost and which is creating in the world so much disruption and war and pain and sorrow, and come back to realizing this oneness and this divine spark within us. So tell us something about the Great Feminine and her relationship to the three main religions.
Well, that divine feminine is such an exquisitely beautiful energy field, and unfortunately, humanity is very masculine. We seem to delight in wars and conflicts and very combative. That's because, for whatever reason, civilization has become very masculine at this point. And what is changing is that the feminine is beginning to become more present in people's lives and also more present in the whole interaction of the planet. So that feminine is this amazing beauty and harmony and gentleness and great wisdom, that the more that we are able to allow that feminine to come into our auras, come into our consciousness, that she is the one that really helps us on the spiritual path. She is the one that, of course, we have that divine spark within us, but it's the feminine consciousness, or, you know, all religions have a different way of a different vocabulary of describing her. She is the one that helps us on the path. She is the one, she does the magic. She helps us transform from our personality and its base.
Let's just say this. If you had been brought up in any of the three Western religions, the Jewish, Christian, and Muslim religions, you know they are basically male-oriented. However, the Eastern religions offer a greater balance between the male and female polarities, like yin and yang, in the Chinese, Tibetan, Buddhist, and Hindu religions. So actually, although there may be some wonderful ideas in all the three religions that I just mentioned, basically they were motivated by control and the ego and the personality part or mask of our physical being in order to control, because the original healers were women. And in the ancient societies, they lived in harmony and balance. So we've got to say, knowing that there is a loving God, he would not allow his women, who are the bearers of all life, the sons and daughters, to be less. And we're still watching religions in this world right now, 4,000 years from the ancient times, still keep women subjugated to a second-class citizenship. And it's got to change. And it,
absolutely. And
it's out of balance. It's out of balance. It's always been out of balance.
Emily talks about this, and what I found so beautiful, he was talking about, going back to Christ, he was talking about that, you know, Christ, of course, was an avatar and came and had a mission, but his mother, you know, referred to her as the Virgin Mary, she was actually a greater being than Christ himself.
Yes, he does write that in the book. It was beautifully written in this very special book.
Her aura, her whole presence, was the vehicle for which Christ was able to do what he had to do. But she was the powerhouse. She was the energy behind that whole mission that Christ had to accomplish. And that feminine, for me personally, Kuan Yin, we do a lot of chants in the group, and we do a lot of beautiful chants to the feminine and chants to, you know, the Chinese Kuan Yin, which is so exquisite. And when you feel, when the group is chanting and we hear a certain kind of vibration and purity and devotion, you can feel her coming down. It's just like incredibly, it's so beautiful and so transcendental, but so real and so personal. It's just incomprehensible to describe. So yes, absolutely, the masculine vibration on the planet is completely out of balance. The three Western religions have too much male dominance.
Yes,
too much. Just out of balance. So what we're working though, and we're moving into this Aquarian age, and what we're moving is to much more of a balance between the male and female. And the Aquarian age is more of a group focus. So Pisces is individual and kind of self-absorbed. Whereas Aquarian, people really focused on groups. It doesn't matter, it doesn't have to be a spiritual group, it could be a corporation, it could be a community, it could be a movement, there are many, many things that people really enjoy being in groups, and that's very, very powerful. And that wanting to be in a group can really help transform the planet, because it's through a group that energies can really change. And the feminine can really become embodied in a group, and that energy itself can help transform the planet.
Well, for these changes, we will all be gratefully thankful, and it will usher in, hopefully, an era of peace and well-being, and we will stop the separation, and we will stop believing in old ideas, ancient ideas that perhaps were never right to begin with, and were taken by man, and not this divine connection to source and creation. So it will be a change, and it is a welcome change. And I would like to thank you, William von Holst, for your thoughtful and clear explanation of the wonderful and truthful values or laws of higher life in Imre Valion's book, The Journey Within. In order to facilitate raising your own vibration to connect to your living soul, by resonating to the truth of your being, go to purchase this book at imrevalion.com or amazon.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, Imre Valion has shared the journey of the soul as it begins to remember and access its divine connection to universal energy, and in doing so, reconnect to age-old intuition, which holds the key and answers to our eternal expanding exploration of self, life, death, allowing us to find the peace and enlightenment that follows this concerted, consistent effort for opening the heart chakra to expose your living spirit, which is the foundation of our physical and spiritual destinies. In my own awakening process, which continues as it does for all of us, each and every day and in each and every experience, I experience, allow, accept, and surrender to the forces of the universe, and have gratefully and joyfully found a way to transcend time and space and to reside in the oneness of being that Emory so eloquently describes throughout his very profound sharing of his discoveries. Emory wrote, "What we see in this world is only a fragment of creation. The vast physical universe is literally just the surface or skin of the multidimensional infinite space. People do not seem bothered to seek this multidimensional almighty part of nature and that great almighty part of themselves. However, those people who have started on the spiritual path have seen beyond that limited view of reality and believe there is something inside them that is greater, something worth seeking. You may call it self-realization, the realization of truth, the realization of God, realization of nirvana, of the Buddha mind, or the kingdom of heaven. You need to live a spiritual life to attain the spiritual dimension. William, Emory, and I would wish your journey within to the heart and soul of your true essence begin now and continue to fill you with the love, peace, and joy of this magnificent discovery or the very truth of life. Don't find excuses to deny the calling from within or be distracted by others. Open your mind and heart and trust the road ahead. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing from Within, and I invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to read about and listen to authors, metaphysicians, and creative minds that encourage your own personal progress in life in its entirety, without limitations of your physical nature. Shows may also be heard on DreamVision7Radio.com and WebTalkRadio.net. Thank you.